And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. For the first time, Larry Noble's devoted friend Lester Jordan is beginning to wonder about the value of beautiful Claudia Vincent's mysterious information, which she claims can save Larry from being found guilty of the murder of young Oliver Wilson. It was logical for him to believe Claudia at first, since Larry is said to have murdered the handsome young fortune hunter in a jealous rage when he found he was secretly married to Claudia. But perhaps the wily Claudia has somewhat overplayed her hand. For right now, as Lester steps out of the elevator into the observation tower of Manhattan's lofty Empire State Building, his brow is furrowed with a mixture of doubt and irritation. As he looks about him, Claudia steps up close and whispers,
"Oh, thank heaven you did get here, Mr. Jordan.
Oh,
I've been utterly terrified.
I didn't recognize you, Miss Vincent. That veil."
Shh, please don't speak my name.
"That doesn't seem to be anyone about. Where's her hand?"
"You don't seem to understand the danger I'm in, Mr. Jordan. Perhaps you believe that I'm making this up just to be dramatic."
"No, of course not."
"You sound very unconvinced."
"Well, not at all. It's only that, hang it, all this cops and robbers game is rather ridiculous, isn't it?"
"Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I shouldn't have remained in New York. I should have obeyed my first impulse and fled to safety. Now it may be too late."
"Well, all this danger, where does it come from, Miss Vincent? Do you know who's back of it? Who would want to harm you?"
"Of course."
"Well, then, the obvious thing would be to call in the police. That's their business, after all, to protect the people of this city."
"My life wouldn't be safe for a split second if I went to the police. My only chance is to keep in hiding until Larry's trial, and then take the stand as a surprise witness."
"I don't see how you'd be any better off that way. Wouldn't these same enemies, whoever they are, be just as dangerous after the trial?"
"No. No, because then it would be too late. I swear to you, Mr. Jordan, I'm the only living person who can save Larry from being found guilty. Oh, I don't mean that his lawyer might not get a hung jury and a retrial, but Larry has no chance of proving his innocence without my story. And you may be sure that the ones responsible for the crime know that and will go to any length to keep me from taking the stand. Several times this past week, I've narrowly missed being found. I simply cannot risk that again."
"Look at it from my point of view, Miss Vincent. I know little or nothing about trials and courts, but Larry now has a new lawyer, Hubert Savage. Wouldn't it be best to put your story to him? Let him decide what's best."
"You'll have to accept my way of doing this, Mr. Jordan, or I'll call it quits."
"But you want to help Larry, don't you?"
"Haven't I proved that already? Haven't I been in mortal danger since the day we met? Do you want me to help Larry Noble at the cost of my own life?"
"Oh, holy smoke, no. Certainly not, Miss Vincent."
"I tell you, I don't dare show my face."
"You think you've found a safe hiding place now?"
"I'm sure of it. But as I told you, Mr. Jordan, it's very expensive. This kind of thing always is. Oh, I wouldn't dream of asking your help or taking money from you if I didn't feel that we were both anxious to go the limit to help Larry."
"Well, his friends are mighty concerned about him. I can promise you that, Miss Vincent."
"Concerned? But that's a pallid word. My heart aches for the poor man. I long to help, to go to him, to ease his fears. But I can't. I can't until the proper time. Even though I think more of Larry Noble than of any friend I've ever known."
"I hope you'll forgive me if this sounds awkward. There's been so much talk, you know, about Larry's infatuation for you, about how he lost his head when he heard of your elopement with Oliver Wilson. You know the rest."
"Yes. Yes, I know the rest, Mr. Jordan. I was there backstage at the Hamilton Theater when Oliver's body was found hanging high in the wings. And that was to have been my big night of triumph, my debut on Broadway as a star playing opposite the great Larry Noble. Instead, it was the end of all my hopes, my struggles."
"Forgive me for saying this. How was it you ran off with this Wilson right before your opening night?"
I had a reason, Mr. Jordan. A very good reason. It's all part of a story that I'm prepared to tell on the stand at the proper time. Oh, Mr. Jordan, if you'll only have a little confidence in me."
"Oh, I don't think you can say that I doubted you, after all."
"No. No, you've been wonderful, but I can see that your faith in me is faltering, and I can't blame you."
"I don't want you to run out now, Miss Vincent. I believe you. I can't imagine anyone cruel enough to build up false hopes in a case like this."
"Oh, thank you, Mr. Jordan. And I promise you I'll do all I can."
I brought some money with me. Here it is. It's in cash, as you requested. I'm running a little low right now, but I did manage to get close to $2,000. If you think
I'm sure I can manage, Mr. Jordan. Oh, you'll never regret your confidence in me, I promise you. I wish I could tell you where to reach me, but I just don't dare. But I'll be in touch with you. Now, be sure you don't mention my name when I call, and now I must run. I'll try to catch this waiting elevator. Goodbye for now.
Lester Jordan watches Claudia Vincent disappear behind the elevator doors. He stops to light a cigarette before following her to the street. Meantime, Mary Noble's with her husband in the New York City jail visiting room, where she says...
Barry, I'm glad we had that serious talk with your new lawyer. I'm getting to have a lot of confidence in him.
Oh, Hubert Savage is all right, Mary. I'd far rather have him than Clarence Brewster, in spite of Brewster's fame. I couldn't ever feel right about having Rupert Barlow pay my lawyer's fee.
There's no need to even think about that anymore, darling. Just concentrate on giving Mr. Savage all the help you can.
It's strange that there are so many loopholes in my story. Heaven knows, I've had time to think it over a million times since I got here. But I still can't piece all of that wretched night together.
There were so many of us backstage after that performance, Larry. And we were all in and out. It's become a grotesque nightmare. And yet Mr. Savage must fit the pieces together into a pattern to find the person who actually did kill Oliver Wilson.
You think he ever will? It's like calling out rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, Rupert, Julia, Victor, Chief. Who's going to prove that anyone is more guilty than I?
But someone is guilty, Larry. Someone did twist that rope around Oliver Wilson's neck and pull him up into the wings with the counterweights.
Oh, no question about that. But can Hubert Savage convince 12 men and true that I didn't do it? Or even that there's reasonable doubt?
Well, of course he can. He must.
Thanks, darling, for the vote of confidence. I know it hasn't been easy.
It's been far worse for you than for anyone, darling. I'm desperately sorry for the things I said to you the other day.
The things you said? Oh, no, honey. I'm the one who blew my top. And the trouble is, I still feel the same about Rupert Barlow. If I thought you were still seeing him, I'd know it was the end of everything we've meant to each other.
Well, how can you say that, Larry? I promised you not to see Rupert anymore. Even though I know that you've been wrong about him and his efforts to help us. I'm going to do everything you say. Anything to help you. Now, you mustn't even think about Rupert anymore, dearest. He's not important enough to come between us.
It's wonderful to hear you say that, Mary. As long as I have your promise to keep away from Barlow, I can feel free to give all my attention to my trial. For the first time, I actually feel confident of winning. I feel that nothing can stop me or keep me from coming home to you, a free man.
Mary Noble fumbles in her pocket for her handkerchief, turns her head slightly so that Larry won't see the tears well up in her eyes. At this same time, in a great New York newspaper office, Marty Rufus, nightclub and society columnist, is working at his typewriter. When...
What the devil do you mean, walking in here like this? You think this is a public waiting room? Get out at once.
I got something to show you, Mr. Rufus.
Well, leave it on my desk, and I'll look it over if I have time. I'm busy now. Get out.
I got a couple of pictures you may want to use. I ain't leaving them here. If you don't want them, there's plenty others do. I only come here first because I thought you were smart.
Confound your impudence. What is this? I meet you two-bit photographers every day and hear the same story. It's always something great, something I can't refuse. But let me tell you that I'm not interested. If you don't want to leave the pictures, then take them with you. I'm busy.
All right, Mr. Wise Guy. You just missed the real break. I don't have to listen to a swell-headed dope like you who thinks he's somebody because he writes a few spiels in a newspaper.
Huh?
You don't want no favors? Okay. I'll remember that sometime when you ask the boss for something.
Hey, wait a minute. Your face looks familiar. Who the devil are you, anyhow?
What do you care, smart guy?
I know. You're Rupert Barlow's man. Victor. That's it. Okay, Victor, why didn't you say so? Let's see the pictures.
Victor hesitates. A manila envelope in his hand, two snapshots inside it. Two snapshots of Rupert Barlow and Mary Noble taken without Mary's knowledge. We'll be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.